welcome everybody to another rendition of the Bauer Power Hour. It's been a while since we've recorded a show, but please know that is about to change. You come here to get hard-hitting sales and marketing guidance, and that's exactly what you'll get here today. Because over the course of the next several minutes, you're going to get some solid tips and advice on how to bust out of sales slumps. This is something more and more of us are facing with the current economy and frequent budget cuts. My guest today recently released a new sales book that you want to check out, but first, let's get the blood flowing with some great pointers on how to rev up your sales engines. Paul McCord just released Bust Your Slump, a dozen slump-busting strategies to fill your pipeline in 30 days. This is Paul's third book to be published. The book is unique in the sense that it offers nothing new or revolutionary, just a very narrow focus that has been ignored by most sales writers. It offers proven, effective strategies to help salespeople, business owners, and service professionals who are hurting for business to help them get business now. Business generation is always a major, if not the major, concern for sellers and sales leaders. With the economy, as it has been over the past 2 years, and it looks like it's going to continue for the foreseeable future, business generation is the main focus of most. Paul, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you for having me. Looking forward to the discussion.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me start off with kind of a question to let you guide our listeners. What information do you plan to pass on? Give us a quick little overview, and we'll jump into some questions.
Basically, just going to be talking about some of the strategies that people can use to generate business very, very quickly. Most of the strategies that are in the book really aren't going to be very successful if you try to make them long-term success strategies.
Gotcha.
They're really designed to do one thing, get you business quickly to beef up your income, beef up your sales, giving you the opportunity to learn the long-term strategies and techniques that will make you successful over the long term.
Excellent. I think we could all use a little bit of that. Well, let me jump ahead here. Give me five areas our listeners should concentrate on to increase sales immediately.
Basically, I'm going to cut it down to three things, because there are really three key things if you really want to generate business quickly. The first thing is you have to work on your attitude. Generally, when we get into a slump, whether that slump is self-inflicted or whether it's because of a recession or whatever, one of the first things that happens is our attitude changes and it becomes very negative. It's hard to make yourself do the things you have to do when you have a defeatist attitude. So one of the first things you got to do is begin to work on your attitude. The second thing you have to do is activity. Activity in and of itself is not the final answer, but activity will cover a multitude of other sins. So you've got to force yourself to act. And then the third thing is you've got to find strategies that really do produce business quickly. Those strategies generally need to be different than what we have used in the past, even if what we've used in the past has worked. Once we get into the cycle of a slump, once our attitude becomes negative, it generally becomes negative not only about our ability to succeed, the market, the product, the company, and everything else, but it also becomes negative about those strategies we've been using. We no longer believe in them. So
right.
Simply changing strategies is as important as increasing activity and changing our attitude.
Right. I think there's a book out on that called What Got You Here Will Not Get You There, or something along those lines, and I think that's a good point to hammer home, is that when we do face a little bit of the valley in the whole sales peaks and valleys cycle, we tend to get negative about ourselves, we get negative about our prospects, we get negative about the process that we're supposed to go through, we get negative about activity. We start to poo-poo all the things that we did that made us successful, and we get away from that, and then we get in that woe is me, oh, God, the sky is falling, I can't sell anything in this market, every lead I get is trash, You know, if the company's providing leads, the leads are garbage, and you start getting into all of that, just, I mean, it's a downward spiral and an avalanche and all of that stuff, and it just starts to, you start to feel like the world's starting to cave in on you. So how do you recommend that people change their attitude first and foremost, or are there some steps that people can go through to get out of that negative spiral?
Yeah, now, attitude is one of those funny things. You have to change your attitude, but you can't wait until your attitude has changed before you start the process of getting out of the slump. If you wait until your attitude's changed, you'll be out of business.
Right.
So the attitude change has got to take place at the same time that you're doing the other things. And they begin to grow in unison together to put you in a more positive place. Where I like to start with attitude change is very simply with Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Get Rich.
Right.
It's probably one of the most comprehensive and relevant books on attitude, even though it was written 60-some-odd years ago.
Right.
He really nailed it. Excellent, excellent book. I recommend that that should be on every salesperson's bookshelf. And as I said, while you're in the process of realigning your attitude, you also have to be doing the other things, which is instituting some new strategies and getting the activity level, up. One of the problems we have, and you mentioned it, you alluded to it just a minute ago, we have a tendency when we're in a slump to believe if we just do more of what's not working, it'll start to work.
Right.
And that's not the case. When you do more of what's not working, all you're doing is investing more and more time and energy into failure.
Yeah, that's insanity, isn't it?
that is a definition of insanity. Yeah, doing the same thing, expecting a different outcome.
Right. Well, share with our audience some strategies. You mentioned that you have to have new strategies that'll get you going back quickly. Share some strategies with our audience that will do just that.
All right. Let me give you two or three real quick ones. One of the things about the book has a dozen of these strategies. The way the book is laid out, it gives the strategy. Then there's a section that talks about exactly how to go about implementing the strategy. And then there's a final section that talks about how one of my clients used the particular strategy and what their results were. There are strategies no matter how you sell. Whether you're in a one-time sales, one-time sale situation, or a long-term sales cycle. Retail, wholesale, makes no difference. Business to business, business to consumer. Obviously, not all of these strategies are appropriate for everyone. So you have to pick the ones that are appropriate for you, your personality, your product, your market, etc. But if you're in an office that has been established for some time, you probably have access to file cabinet after file cabinet after file cabinet of orphan files. Orphans are just an absolute goldmine. Orphans are the files from salespeople that left or salespeople that were promoted and no longer in sales, that transferred to another office or whatever. They're former customers who have bought from the company who no longer have a salesperson taking care of them. Those files are just chock full of sales if you know how to look for them. When you go into an orphan file, you're looking for some specific things. You're looking for a file that is relatively old, but not so old that it's dead. So if you run across a file that's months old or a year or two old, that's a perfect candidate. there's probably financial information in that file, so you can see whether or not they can probably afford to purchase more product or an add-on product or an add-on service. Look through those files, and you set aside those that look to be appropriate candidates, and you call them. You call them with a customer service request, looking to get to know them, to feel them out, to see what their purchase needs may be. You only want to do those that appear to be legitimate candidates for new business. You don't want to become a customer service person, so you want to be careful of who you call. But if you call on orphans that meet your criteria, you're going to have a ton of sales very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Another strategy is to network. But you don't want to network at the time wasters. The time wasters are the BNI breakfast groups, the chamber networking events, those types of things. Mostly what you're going to find at the chamber are other salespeople looking for prospects. At BNI, you're going to find people that generally are looking for sales opportunities that are relatively small to very, very, very small businesses, usually mom-and-pop businesses. Generally, you have to have attended religiously for months and months and months before you begin to get referrals. There are much better places to network. If you sell to dentists, go where dentists congregate. If you sell to manufacturers, go where manufacturers congregate. If you sell to contractors, go to where contractors congregate. They congregate at their various and sundry industry associations. Go spend time where you can get in front of a large number of quality prospects all at one time. Don't waste your time on those venues that are probably going to produce very little for you. When you do go, you can't simply go and think that you can show up for a one-time shot, graze the field, and walk away with business. It doesn't happen that way. If you want to go and join with the contractors because they are great prospects for you, then you're going to have to go and you're going to have to join the Contractors Association. You're going to have to come involved. They're used to salespeople coming and grazing the field, looking for the low-hanging, easy sales. They reject those folks. You're not going to get anywhere by doing that. You're just another one of the jerks that come along that's trying to manipulate them. But if you actually become involved, if you work for their goals, if you work to help them reach the goals and objectives they've set out in their association, you gain their respect, and they will become buyers. It takes time, but you can expedite that if you use a particular networking process that we don't have really time to go into here. But that process is laid out in the book and allows you, over the course of a week, to generate 5 or 6 quality contacts with the same individual, with the same prospect. So you can greatly expedite your relationship with a new prospect that you meet networking. Another possible strategy would be to use referrals. Generally, when we think of referrals, we're thinking of asking a client if they happen to know somebody that might be able to use our product or service. That is a very, very weak way of trying to generate referrals. Instead of asking your client if they happen to know somebody, do some research. I recommend that you sit down and figure out, list on paper, 100 companies or 100 individuals that you know you want to be referred to. And then get out your database of clients and take that first company or that first person that you wrote down and figure out which one of your clients probably knows someone in that company or knows that person. And you align your clients with those 100 individuals or 100 companies. And then you go back and you ask that first client, instead of, do you happen to know someone that might need my product or service, you go back to that client that you believe knows the vice president of XYZ company, and you say, gosh, John, it dawned on me that you may well know Joe Blow over here at XYZ company. Do you happen to know him? Yeah, I know him. Wow, would you mind introducing me to him? If you sit down and put out, write down 100 companies that you know you want to be referred to, and you can match your clients up with, say, 50 or 60 of them, within 2 weeks, you can probably walk away with 30, 40, or 50 high-quality referrals to companies that you know you want to be referred to. So there, very quickly, are three of the strategies that can be used. Obviously, they're a little more complex than what we just talked about, but they all can produce business very, very quickly.
Yeah, I think those are excellent tips. And to add to them, I had a situation where I was doing technology sales, and I was going through the older files, or as Ricky Roma calls in the movie, the nostalgia files that you refer to as orphan files. And I found a client in there that had spent a lot of money with the company I was working for before, but they hadn't spent any money in about a year and a half or 2 years. So I just called them, kind of like you said, as a customer service or, you know, hey, did something happen? Something go wrong? Is there something we can do? And come to find out that the previous sales rep, they didn't have a new sales rep assigned, so the previous sales rep had either said something or done something that they weren't particularly fond of, and then they had a customer service issue that was never resolved. So then, instead of treating them as a new prospect, I went back and said, okay, let's fix the customer service issue, or if there's an outstanding, they're due back some money or whatever, let's address that, and then let's take the executives in there to meet with their executives so they can air out the dirty laundry or get their complaint on the table and get it heard by somebody who can do something about it. Well, they ended up buying something 30 days later just for calling them up and saying, hey, notice you haven't purchased anything in a year and a half, 2 years. Did something go wrong? I mean, I'm new here. I played the whole new sales rep. I don't know the back history, so please feel free to share anything with me because your previous sales rep's no longer with the company. Turned into a deal within 30 days, just like you said. And then for the B&I groups, frequently what I found with those, just like you said, it's small opportunities, and I like to refer to them as trinket sellers. You go to these B&I groups, and there's some lady that's sitting over in the corner that's come up with this great idea to sell nail cleaner for, you know, women, nothing like they've ever seen before, some little trinket, some invention that if she can just get in front of enough people to refer, she's going to make $1 million. Well, we all know that's not going to happen. But those are typically the people, bottom feeders, that you'll see at these B&I groups, and they swear by these B&I groups. A lot of them will go religiously. When you ask them, how much money have you made from them? Well, nothing yet, but... That's usually what you get back from them. So I couldn't agree with you more on the B&I groups and the chamber meetings. Yeah, they look great for activity's sake, but they don't produce any hardcore ROI results that you can really sink your teeth into. I like the tip about the go where the prospects hang out. That's a great tip, and especially since you can get online to forums and message boards and blogs and interact with these people without being in their face before you ever meet them. Social media is another great way, even though a lot of CEOs may not necessarily be interacting with social media, you can get some information about the company through social media, so it's a lot easier to connect with people. And then something else with referrals, I like to give people referrals first and then ask for them in return. Like, let's say, Paul, you and I we obviously just met, we're talking on the phone. I can ask you what it is that you do. You go through that, you know, hey, you just came out with this new book about busting slumps. I could then go to two or three people that I know that are in a slump and say, hey, I got a book that might be of interest to you and a guy you might want to talk to, and then refer those three people to you, then that way you're going to be much more receptive when I call you and say, hey, Paul, remember those three guys I sent you last week? Do you got anybody that's in use or in need of internet marketing or search engine optimization type services that might be willing to talk to me about those particular things? And that'll get the ball rolling very quickly. So that's another tip you can add to the thing for our listeners. What is the biggest mistake you see sales reps making right now?
Most of them tend to think that today's business is just like yesterday's business, and that's not the case. For most of us, our markets have really changed. Our prospects are far better educated than they have been in the past. In many instances, frankly, our prospects know more about their needs and their situations and their potential resolutions than we do. We can no longer approach sales as we have in the past. Much of what worked in the past worked because we were in control. We were the educators. We were the ones that facilitated the purchase that our prospects needed or wanted to make. And that's really no longer the case.
Right.
In many, many industries, they no longer need us. Literally, they do not need us. They don't even need us to take an order, because all they have to do is go to the internet and they can place their order.
Right.
And that covers almost everything you can possibly think of in terms of retail. And an awful lot of the business-to-business sales also. So in order for us to become relevant, we have to take sales and turn it from sales to education, and from education then back to sales.
Mm-hmm.
Even though our prospects are better educated and many times know more than we know, a lot of the information they're getting is from the internet, and some of that is either wrong or misleading or only a half truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be the ones who come in and basically top off their education by either confirming what they already know or straightening out what they think they know but is actually a misconception.
Right.
So we still have our place in the sale if we're willing to take that place. Basically, what we're going to end up with are two classes of salespeople, a whole bunch of order takers, and a much smaller class of highly professional educators. We want to be in that second group.
Right. What about sales managers? What kind of mistakes do you see them making? Are they still hammering home that whole, oh, just increase your activity, in other words, make more calls? Are they still stuck in that yesteryear model of, you know, pick up the phone and just start dialing for dollars?
Unfortunately, a good many of them are. They are either stuck in the do more of what you've been doing that isn't working mentality, or they unfortunately want to go in one extreme or the other. And by that I mean some of them have determined that social media is going to be their mecca. It's going to be their salvation. There's much to be said about the internet and social media, but there's also an awful lot of hype that is associated with it that it's just a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
There are others who want to go the other way and totally ignore the reality of today's marketplace with the internet and social media, et cetera, and they want to be stuck in the 1970s. Reality is there has to be a mix. A great many people still want to interact with a real, honest-to-God human being, whether that's over the phone or face-to-face. But they're still going to take some portion of their process and put it online, whether that's the initial education process that they go through, whether it's the initial contact with one or two or more companies. Somehow or another, more and more people are engaging technology in their purchase. We have to have a presence there, just as we have to have a presence offline also. And as I said, unfortunately, some sales managers have gone overboard, believing that the technology and the internet is going to be their salvation, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So in the realm of sales management, we still have a great ways to go in learning how to deal with the marketplace as it is today. Because it's very, very different than it was 10 years ago. And unfortunately, as a whole, sales has not caught up with the reality of today's market.
Right. I think that it's even changed drastically in the last 5 years, because I stopped doing sales probably 5 years ago, and I know that a lot of the things that I do now with my own business, I wish I had been implementing as a sales rep when I was doing technology sales and tech support and all of that, but I didn't know how to pull a lot of that stuff off. Now it's second nature to me, and I don't even think about utilizing the internet any other way. Just go out and offer a free report, get people into a follow-up sequence where they can learn about my company on their schedule, and then when they are ready to have a conversation, they will either email me back, call me, or when I call them, they'll be like, hey, I've been expecting your call, as opposed to, hey, let me call up Paul and cold call him and see if he'd be willing to meet with me for 30 minutes so I can figure out whether I have a solution for him or not, which is kind of the old school model and the dialing for dollars thing. So I think you're spot on with the internet's not going to solve all the problems, but the internet was made to handle a lot of the educational process that, frankly, you don't want the same people, or you don't want to answer the same questions every single day. Why not give that to people in some form of a report, a white paper, a case study, some type of testimonial, whatever it is? Let them access that on their own terms, and then when they get to the point where they're comfortable enough, they trust you, they feel you're credible, then that way you can have that dialogue and that face-to-face interaction that's so critical to closing the deal. All right, so I know you're limited on time today, so I'll hit you with one more question. Let's say I have a longer sales cycle. Let's say I'm selling large corporations, routers, and high technology stuff that generally takes about 6 months from beginning to end to close a deal. What are some steps I could take to reduce the time to a deal in a longer sales cycle?
Okay. Obviously, if you're in a longer sales cycle, you're not going to be able to fill your pipeline in just 30 days. But you can still expedite the sale. And you do that by taking these exact same strategies and turning them into something that will work for you. Let's go back to referrals. You can come up with a number of companies that you know you want to be referred into. You've got existing clients who know people in those company, so you can use the referral strategy to get referred into that company. Once you're there, you can use some of the networking strategies to expedite the process. Most of this is relationship-driven sales. Now, obviously, if a company doesn't need a piece of technology for 6 months, they're not going to buy for 6 months. They're not going to buy early just because you happen to show up and they like you. But if you've got a list of 100 companies and you can match up to 60 or 70 of them with your clients who probably know and can refer you into them, you're probably going to have the opportunity to really interact with 30, 40, or 50 of those companies. More than likely, there are relatively quick sales available in those companies. Now, it may not be an enterprise sale. It may be something small to get your foot in the door. But if you've got 40 or 50 referrals and 15 of those companies need a relatively small sale, that's probably still going to add up fairly quickly. And it puts you in a position, so in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, when they do have that major sale, you're in line. You've already got the relationship established. You're not going to sell a $3 million contract by just walking through the door. You've got some serious relationship building to do. You got to be there at the right time. Many of those companies are going to ask for an RFP, and if you're there at the right time, you get to help them design that RFP. And if you do it well, you're going to design it so the only company that they can possibly choose is yours. All of that takes time, so you're not going to be able to rush it through, but what you can do is begin to establish the relationship and get those smaller sales to establish your credibility and your relationship, and you can do that quickly.
Excellent, excellent. Well, before we wrap it up, let's talk about your book. What was your inspiration for writing the book? What did you see going on that told you now is the time to write this book?
The inspiration was actually pretty easy. I'm getting a lot of phone calls from sales managers and salespeople saying, how in the world do I make money in this market? So that was relatively easy. And most of the work I do, whether it's for major companies or individual sellers, most of the area that I work in is in prospecting. And in particular, it's strategies to find and connect with prospects in ways that they will accept, respect, and respond to. That doesn't tend to be cold calling or hitting the BNI breakfast group or going to the chamber networking event. It tends to be more sophisticated ways of prospecting. So I get a lot of calls from salespeople and managers about how do you generate business in today's marketplace. So that was really the inspiration for the book.
Excellent. And I assume you can get a copy on Amazon?
Go to Amazon. You can get the paperback. You can get the Kindle edition. It has just come out. It has not reached Barnes & Noble yet. But it will be at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million probably within 2-3 weeks. But certainly Amazon has it. You can go to my website, which is mccordtraining.com. I've got inventory. If you want Kindle, go to Amazon and get the Amazon Kindle edition.
Excellent. Well, Paul, I want to thank you for spending some time with us today and sharing some great tips. Before we wrap everything up, is there anything else you'd like to add or something you'd like to say to the listeners before we wrap up the show and put a bow on it?
Yeah, basically just one thing real quick. Whether you're in a slump or not, this is going to be true, but it's particularly true if you're finding sales to be difficult right now. There's no easy answer. It takes discipline. It takes effort. You've got to get up off your butt and get busy. As I said earlier, activity in and of itself makes up for a lot of sins. But really, if you want to be successful long term, you have to find a way to get out of the slump that you're in. That's exactly what this book is designed to do, get you out of there. But you also have to take the time and the effort to learn the long-term strategies and skills that are going to prevent this from happening again. This is not a book, and these are not strategies that are going to put you in a position where you'll never, ever have to worry about sales again. These are strategies designed to give you a real quick boost to get money in the bank and sales in the pipeline. They're not designed to be your long-term answer to success.
And I want to appreciate the candor as well, because you haven't come out and said this book is going to solve all your problems and make you a billionaire tomorrow, to where the 900-pound gorilla is going to come down and you're going to have your wad of cash. He's just magically going to produce it for you. I appreciate the honesty that you're not hyping the book up to be, you know, hey, if you get my book, you'll be the next millionaire within 30 days and all of that. So from my perspective, I really appreciate that and want to thank you for that.
Yep. Now, it'll generate business for you, but you know, how many orphan files are there in the world?
Right.
How many dead files can you resurrect?
Right.
You know?
Well, I want to thank Paul McCord for being my guest today. This is Roger Bauer, the Bauer Power Hour, and stay tuned. We will have another exciting, lively, dynamic episode coming up very soon. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Roger.